Hey, good morning, Calvary. First thing, before we do anything else, let me recognize almost 50 people from our church went yesterday to Feed the Hungry and to partner with Highland Community Church. If you're in this room, thank you so much for going out and serving in our community. In fact, y'all should give it up for those folks. You really should. Hey, we are a church about helping meet needs with people in our community. When they're hungry, we're about trying to feed them. When they're in need of clothing or shelter, we're about trying to meet those needs. And those are immediate needs. You know, people have the need for food, the need for clothing, the need for shelter. Those needs are immediate. Jesus' church is supposed to try to meet those needs. But did you know that you can meet the immediate need and never really address somebody's ultimate need? I mean, the ultimate need is always at the soul level. And Jesus alone ultimately handles the big need, the need that lasts beyond heaven or beyond life here on earth, the need that goes to heaven and hell level. So churches sometimes do a really good job of meeting immediate needs, but forget to address the ultimate need. And it's the church and only the church that can meet the ultimate need. Here's what I'm saying. Sometimes churches are really good at service, but don't offer a savior. Sometimes churches will do good, but they don't give the gospel. As Pastor Larry Osborne has said, oftentimes churches are becoming more and more comfortable offering people justice, trying to help with the problems in their life, without ever offering them Jesus. And justice without Jesus doesn't answer the real ultimate needs in someone's life. Today we're going to talk about mission. What does it mean to be on mission? And when I use this word mission, if you're new to church, if this is your first day ever inside the doors of a church, this word mission is tossed around in our society all the time. If you're in the military, you know what it means to be on a mission. Even in the corporate world, corporations have mission statements. It's their way of telling the world, this is what we're all about. This is what our company stands for. Well, did you know that Jesus's people have a mission? Just like the military, just like the corporate world. Our mission's a little bit different, though. Here's the deal. Jesus is our king. He is our master. We're his servant, which means I don't get to choose my mission. He does. And whatever he determines is my mission, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. In fact, you can find this in one spot in the Bible explicitly. John chapter 20, verse 21, when Jesus says, as the Father sends me, to the same degree and for the same reason that the Father has sent me his Son, the rest of the verse says, so I am sending you. My people are supposed to be about my mission. In other words, Jesus' mission is your mission if he's your Savior. Now, two words are going to get us in trouble today. So if you're in the habit of writing down some notes, I want you to take that worship guide that you've got today, take out something and write these two words down. Go ahead and grab something to write these two words down with right now. Put them in the notes section of your worship guide. Write down the word be, B-E, and then write down the word do. Write them down next to each other. Now, once you've got those words written down, take the word do and circle it, and then write and then draw a line through it. I am not going to ask you to do something today. I'm not going to ask you to go on a mission trip with me and Pastor Frank to India. I'm not going to ask you to go do something different in your schedule today. I'm not going to ask that of you. That would be way too easy. I'm going to ask you to become something today. So take the word be and underline it twice and write three exclamation marks about it, because this is what we're talking about today. We're not talking about doing missions. We're talking about being missional. It's something that you do every day, all day long. It's just part of your nature, and it's what God has already put inside of you. We're going to be looking in the Bible today in Luke chapter 7. If you've got a copy of the Bible, you can go ahead and flip open to Luke chapter 7. If you got that mobile app open, it's got all of the notes, all of the scripture and everything for you there. Luke chapter 7, the first thing that I want you to see starting in verse 18 is if you're going to be missional, you've got to be ready to answer some honest questions. And I consider honest questions to be a privilege to be able to answer honest questions. So let's see how Jesus handles honest questions today. Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 18. The disciples of John the Baptist told John about everything Jesus was doing. So John called for two of his disciples, and he sent them to the Lord to ask him, "Are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else?" John's two disciples found Jesus and said to him, "John the Baptist sent us to ask, 'Are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else?'" Does it, I hope it makes your heart glad like it does mine. Does it do your heart good to know that if John the Baptist, who Jesus says today, one of the greatest men who's ever walked on planet Earth, if John the Baptist has some questions about faith, then I guess it's okay if I have some questions about faith. I guess it's okay when other people around me have questions about faith. This is a really important question. So important, in fact, that Luke chooses to write the question down twice for us in three verses. And John's not asking, "Hey, am I really a Christian or not?" As Dr. Bob Stein, the guy who wrote a commentary on the book of Luke, says, John's really not trying to answer the question, "Am I really a believer?" He's asking the question about Jesus' lifestyle. "All right, Jesus, I expected the Messiah to be a judge. I thought he was going to be a ruler. And what I'm seeing, we're right in the middle of your ministry now, Jesus, and what I'm seeing from you doesn't look like judge, it doesn't look like ruler. So Jesus, are you really the guy that we're supposed to be expecting, or is somebody else going to come after you?" And you'll see in just a few minutes how Jesus answers this question. But I want you to notice this is an honest question. And an honest question typically means somebody's learning, somebody's growing. And learning and growing is a good thing. So when people ask you questions, it's a good thing. Don't get frustrated. Don't get disappointed when somebody's asking you questions about the faith. You know how it is, parents, moms, you know this really well. When you have a toddler and they have a question, it's not like you can even blow that question off anyway, right? Because they're going to keep asking you 500 times until you give them the answer to the question. You just got to give them an answer in a way that they'll understand it. But they're not going to stop until you give them an answer to the question. And John asks Jesus a really serious question. And Jesus deals honestly with that question. Hey, newsflash. In a couple of weeks, we're going to change the inside of this just a little bit. And we're going to start giving you discussion questions for your sermon every week. Here's the idea behind these discussion questions. It's pre-formatted questions. You already heard the sermon. You've already filled in the outline. You have some discussion questions. And now anytime, any place, anywhere, you can grab a group of people, get them together and say, "Hey, can we take a look at the Bible for just a few minutes? Can I ask you a few questions? And can we try to learn about Jesus together?" We're going to give you discussion questions so that you can start a Bible study or you can start to lead a life group anytime, any place, anywhere. We'll make those little discussion questions available every week for you in our worship guide. Don't be the person who says, "Well, I don't know all of the answers, Jeff, so I'm not about to go start a discussion group." Because neither do I. I don't know all the answers either. But that doesn't stop me from saying, "You know what? I'm not sure the answer to your question, but let's see if we can figure it out together." Honest questions means that somebody is thinking and somebody is growing. But let's see how Jesus answers this question. Now, second thing, if you're following along in those notes, if you're going to be missional, not just do missions, but be missional, you're going to have to be willing to meet people's needs. Meet their needs right where they are. Jesus or John the Baptist has a question. He comes to Jesus, and look at how Jesus answers this question, starting in verse 21. At that very time, two of John's disciples are still there asking Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, are you it? Or should we be expecting somebody else? Are you the real deal?" At that very time, Jesus cured many people of their diseases, illness, and evil spirits. He restored sight to many people who were blind. Then he told John's disciples, "Go back to John and tell him what you've seen and heard. The blind see. The lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised to life, and the good news," notice this phrase, "and the good news is preached to the poor." And then he says, "And go tell him, God blesses those who do not turn away because of me." If you're thinking, wait a second, Jesus didn't really answer the question. I mean, it's a yes or no question, and Jesus doesn't really give him a yes or no answer. Is Jesus avoiding the question here? No, he's not. In fact, you lose something in the English translation here that's very, very significant. Jesus gives action to his answer. He heals the blind, and he causes the lepers to walk, and Luke says he has power over evil spirits and power over disease and power over sickness and power over death. That's kind of the idea that Luke is painting here for you. And then Luke uses a phrase that's found nowhere else in the New Testament. The idea is communicated in lots of places, but the way that Luke writes it is unique to this verse alone, verse 22. God gives grace to the blind so that they can see. No big deal, right? Yeah, it is. Because Luke is quoting almost directly from Isaiah 61. You remember? Jesus is invited to preach one day. Jesus, the traveling rabbi, goes to a synagogue and he's invited to preach one day. And Jesus intentionally opens up the book of Isaiah. He intentionally goes to Isaiah 61, the epic passage in the Old Testament that describes who the Messiah is and what the Messiah will do. Jesus reads Isaiah 61, and then Jesus says to the crowd in the synagogue that day, "Today, you've seen this fulfilled in your eyes. I am Isaiah 61. John's disciples come to Jesus and say, "Hey, Jesus, are you the real deal? Or is there somebody else that we're supposed to expect?" And Jesus does Isaiah 61 in front of their eyes. And then Luke quotes Isaiah 61 when Jesus says, "I am the fulfillment of exactly what the Messiah was supposed to do." In other words, John, you had a little bit different idea of who the Messiah is, but I'm the real deal. I'm the one that you're supposed to expect. And Jesus says, "Blessed are those people who don't turn away because of me, who have seen and their lives have been changed because of what they've seen in me." Jesus makes it pretty clear. His mission is our mission, and we are supposed to be the ones who carry out that mission of healing people's immediate needs so we can address their ultimate need. I've got a video today that I think will drive this point home a little bit. So I want you to watch this video, and then after this video, I think there's three things on there that I hope you'll never forget from this video that you see in just a second. Watch this.
I worked for a playground company as I was finishing up college. I worked there for 4 or 5 years. Things started to kind of go south there with their company, and so at that time I was kind of forced to go look for something else, and happened to be at a playground trade show, and a gentleman approached me and asked me what I did. He actually said, "Have you ever thought about going out on your own?" And I said, "No, I hadn't really thought about it." And he said, "Well, let's talk some more." So we sat down at dinner and talked, and from that moment on decided to start my company, Child's Play, doing commercial playground equipment for schools, churches, daycares, city parks, that kind of thing. Then I did have a dream. I had this dream of, hey, one day I'm going to make it big. And once I make it big, I'd like to start a Christian playground charity. Well, the day of making it big was never going to come. So I started feeling a calling from the Lord to say, why wait? When Matt Chandler was speaking about the church plant that they did in Philadelphia, I just felt that there might be a need there. So I kind of reached out to the church and said, hey, for some reason I'm feeling this tugging on me. I'm feeling that there may be a need for a playground. Let me know if that's a possibility.
We knew that kids needed a safe place, if you will. A lot of drugs on the playgrounds, a lot of cursing, a lot of fighting, a lot of bullying. Last summer, right before we built the playground, there was a shooting of a father and a son. And so we began to pray a little bit. And then Jay with Child's Play, who owns the company, said, hey, we want to build Epiphany Fellowship, a playground. The playground has been a blessing because the Lord used this playground as a way to just develop common ground with lost people. Partnering with Child's Play was a phenomenal opportunity to show off the glory of Christ in showing love for our neighbor by care for basic needs beyond just wanting to get them into a Sunday morning gathering. That it really felt like God gave it to us, and they wanted to kind of be so out of the picture. Ultimately, we want the neighborhood to know that God provided it, not us or you.
So I feel running a business should be the same way we run our personal lives. And money, the bottom line, that's not the number one thing that's important. The number one thing that's important is doing what's right, treating people well, and so that any reflection or anything that we leave on somebody else is a good reflection of not only ourselves, our company, but of God and how God wants us to live our lives.
Let me tell you a couple of things about this story that impressed me. One, this guy made it very natural. He was already in the playground business, and he decided, how do I take my business and turn it and start using it for Jesus' glory? I want you to write down three notes about this video. The first note I want you to write down is be missional in a way that's very natural to you. I'm not asking you to go around the world. I'm not even asking you to necessarily change your life. Jay just did what was natural for him. But here's the second thing I want you to write down about this video. Jay said, I think I'll get to the point where I've got enough money and I've got enough time that I'll be able to do this. And then he realized it's never going to happen. So the second thing I want you to write down is don't wait. If you're sitting there thinking, one of these days, Jeff, I'm going to retire and I'll have the time and I'll have the money to be able to serve Jesus really, really well. No, you won't. You'll never really have that kind of time in your schedule. So if you're waiting, stop waiting and start finding a very natural way to serve Jesus right now. But here's what blew me away about this video. Jay didn't want any credit for this. Epiphany Fellowship in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania didn't want any credit for this. Third thing I want you to write down, do it so that Jesus gets all of the credit. Jay started building playgrounds. Right now, his company sends the equipment and sends people to build playgrounds all over the world for free. And he doesn't want any credit for it, doesn't want any attention for it. And when Calvary Baptist Church gets outside the walls of this church and starts to serve in our city, we're not doing this so you get attention. We're not even doing it so our church gets attention. We're doing it so that all of the attention goes to King Jesus and ultimately trying to meet people's everyday needs so we can introduce them to the answer to their ultimate need, the answer that's found only in King Jesus. See, if you're going to be missional, you're going to have to meet people's needs. Just meet them right where they're at and start meeting their immediate need so that you can address the ultimate need. If you're going to be missional, you're going to have to be a messenger for Jesus. John sends some disciples, asks Jesus a question, and Jesus sends them back as messengers to John. Jesus sends us as a messenger. And here's what it means to be a messenger. It just means you tell people what he's done in you and what he's doing through you. That's all that it is. Listen to what happens next in this story, starting in verse 24. After John's disciples left, Jesus began talking about John the Baptist to the crowds. What kind of man did you go into the wilderness to see? And Jesus uses these two extremes here. Was he a weak reed swayed by every breath of wind? Or were you expecting to see a man dressed in expensive clothes? No, people who wear beautiful clothes and live in luxury are found in palaces. Were you looking for a prophet? Yes, and he's more than a prophet. John is the man to whom the scriptures refer when they say, look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare the way before you. I tell you, look at this fascinating statement. Of all who have ever lived, none is greater than John. Now look up at the screens, church. And yet, even the least person in the kingdom of God is greater than he is. Did you just see that? He's talking about you. He said, John the Baptist, greatest man born of a woman that ever walked on planet Earth. Jesus is kind of separating himself, right? Like, Jesus wasn't born of a woman. He was born unique, incarnated, miraculous birth. But of normal human mama and daddy birth, nobody ever walked on earth like John the Baptist. And you, church, are greater than he is. You will do greater things than John the Baptist will do. And if that settles in your mind for just a second, it should blow your minds what he's saying about you. You see, John's message was incomplete. Hey, the crowds came to see this guy, and the idea of him being a weak reed is the idea that it's ordinary, it's everyday, it's insignificant, right? There are reeds that grow up and down the rivers and up and down the creeks, and the ponds all over Jesus's all over in Jesus's day. It's a very ordinary thing. Jesus said John was not ordinary. Big crowds don't come to see the ordinary guy. But he also wasn't the opposite extreme. He wasn't the guy who had expensive cars and fancy clothes. That's not John the Baptist either. Because crowds don't stay around guys like that for very long. John was a man of character, a man of great character. And because of that, people were drawn to him and lives were changed because of him. But John's message was incomplete. John told people, you have sin. There's no way to deal with your sin except for to give it over to God. But John never had the privilege of learning about Jesus' death and about his resurrection. You and I live on this side of Jesus' death and resurrection. And the message that you have is the complete story. That a man or a woman can't be transformed by good works, can't work hard enough, do enough good things to get into heaven on your own. That's not how it goes with God. That's why God sent Jesus. That's why Jesus had to die on the cross. That's why 2 days later, Jesus rose again. The proof that his message was real. And you and I live on this side of the death and resurrection, and the message that you have is the complete picture. And Jesus is saying, you have an even greater opportunity than John the Baptist had. You can impact people in ways that John the Baptist couldn't, because he didn't have the whole story. Look, we have more sermon to do today, but I just want to right now, right here, deal with the issue of salvation. Maybe somebody's in this room, maybe you've been hearing the story of Jesus, and maybe for the first time in your life, it's all starting to make sense. Maybe you're realizing going to church doesn't get you into heaven. Maybe you understand that giving money in the offering plate or praying is not going to get you into heaven. It took Jesus' death and resurrection. And if that's you, right here, right now, I want to pray that you surrender your soul to Jesus Christ. So would you all just bow your heads? And let me pray that maybe somebody in this room right now would turn their soul over to Jesus Christ and find him a Savior that will transform them from the inside out. Let me say a quick prayer. God, I pray right now that you look down from heaven and you look deep into the soul of every man and every woman and every child in this room. And Father, if somebody's been here and they've been listening for weeks or for months and they've been struggling with this idea, would you cause today, right now, right where they're sitting in the seat that they're in, to be the moment that they settle this once and for all? Would you cause them to be able to say and to mean this, God, I am a sinner. I can't get to heaven on my own. Being good or doing good religious deeds doesn't get me into heaven. I understand that now. Right here, right now, just between me and you, God, I'm turning it all over to you. From this moment forward, you call all the shots in my life. I don't. Because I understand that you sent your son Jesus, who died a brutal death on the cross, a death that I deserve, and then 3 days later, who rose again. And because Jesus now lives, I will one day live even after I die. And so God, right here, right now where I'm at, I'm placing it all in your hands. I am trusting you from this moment forward, and I'm asking you to change me from the inside out. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last step, if you're following along in those notes today, if you're going to be missional, not just do mission stuff, is you have to be around. It doesn't really work if you're not around sinners. If you're going to be missional, you've got to be around people who need Jesus. And I just want you to hear from me. Look up here for just a second before we even look at it in the scriptures. If you do this, and if you do this consistently, I'm going to make you a guarantee. People are going to criticize you for it. They're going to ridicule you for the way that you live, or at least for the people that you are around, if you do this consistently. And today you're going to see they ridicule John the Baptist for it. They ridicule Jesus for it. So it's okay. You're in good company. Listen to what the Bible says next in Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 29. It says, when they heard this, all the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus talking about John the Baptist and John's ministry, when they heard this, even the tax collectors agreed that God's way was right, for they had been baptized by John. But there is a group of people who didn't like what Jesus was saying. And it was church people. Look at verse 30. But the Pharisees, the experts in the religious law, rejected God's plan for them. For they had refused John's baptism. To what can I compare these people? The people of this generation, Jesus asked. How can I describe them? They're like children playing a game in the public square. They complained to their friends, we played a wedding song and you didn't dance, so we played a funeral song and you didn't weep. And then Jesus uses two extreme cases here. Both of them share the same thing in common, often around sinners and unbelievers. For John the Baptist didn't spend his time eating and drinking wine, and you say he's possessed by a demon. The Son of Man, on the other hand, feasts and drinks, and you say he's a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And then Jesus makes this very clear. But wisdom is shown to be right by the lives of those who follow it. You have John the Baptist and Jesus on this side. And then you have the church people, religious people on this side. Now, John the Baptist and Jesus are about the two opposite extremes here, right? John has this extraordinary lifestyle where his food and his hair and his clothing are different. And everybody says, this dude is weird. Jesus, on the other hand, is hanging out, going to parties, spending time around unbelievers. And people are saying, what kind of a person does that? And then on the opposite side, you have all of the church people, all of the religious leaders, the teachers of the law, who say, you're not supposed to be, good people don't hang around with people like that. You're not supposed to be around people like that. They criticize John the Baptist for being too holy. They criticize Jesus for not being holy enough. And it was all basically not about lifestyle. It was about the kind of people that they hung around. And I promise you, if you make it a habit of regularly being around people who need to hear about Jesus, you're going to find some church people who are going to criticize you or ridicule you for that. But don't worry about it. You're in good company. You're in company with John the Baptist. You're in company with Jesus. You're in company with all of the disciples when you're living that kind of lifestyle. You see, the only other option is to live like the religious leaders, to live like those people who want nothing to do with folks who need to hear about Jesus. I'll just hang around with church people, thank you very much. And criticize those people who don't live the way I live. If you were to go back and to look at it, Jesus is simply saying, there's really no way to be missional and not be around people who need to hear about Jesus. There's really no way to do it. You are either around them and you're willing to accept it as part of your mission in life, or you avoid them at all costs. There's really no middle ground. Today, in order to be missional, I'm not asking you to change your life at all. I realize many of you in this room have very busy schedules. You don't have the time to add one more thing to your schedule. So I'm not asking you to add anything to your schedule. I'm asking you to do, to just simply start to look at people through the eyes that Jesus looks at them. When you see a guy at a truck stop filling up his 18-wheeler, do you see Lawrence as just another dude who's on the road and in your way, or do you see a man whose soul needs Jesus as a savior? When you see a law enforcement officer in the Chattahoochee Valley named Amanda, do you see a woman who's serving and protecting our community, who's trying to keep it all together at home? Or do you see a soul who needs a savior? Or just this weekend when the lady came to our door and delivered some pizza, her name is Betty, and I stopped her. It didn't take 2 minutes out of her day or my day. And I said, Betty, what's going on in your life? How can me and my family pray for you? And Betty's eyes started to well up with tears because somebody stopped her and asked her how I could get to know her and how I can pray for her. Didn't take 2 minutes out of Betty's day. Didn't take 2 minutes out of my day. But it started a conversation that maybe will change Betty's soul. Maybe will change Amanda's soul. Maybe will change Lawrence's soul. Now I want to ask you, how many of you in this room would say, I come into contact with at least 5 people every day, and I don't know where they're going to spend eternity? Raise your hand. Go ahead, raise it up high. They're at the grocery store when you're checking out, or they're bagging your groceries. They're at the gas station when you're paying for your gas. They're at the cleaners when you're dropping or picking your clothes up. They're at the restaurant when they're waiting on your table. And you get a chance to be in their presence for just a few moments, and you have no idea where their soul is. Being missional is about taking those opportunities that you have every day, all day long, and no longer looking them as just people, but as souls in need of a Savior, and finding the opportunity to just start a conversation about Jesus. Asking the lady who's waiting on your table, hey, what's your name, and can I pray for you? We're going to pray for our meal in just a second. How can I pray for you? And maybe that opens the door up to a spiritual need that she has, and ultimately a chance to share Jesus with her. Remember, you can do service without offering a Savior. You can do good without giving the Gospels. We can, if we're not careful, provide justice without ever giving people Jesus. When you start to look at people through the eyes that Jesus looks at people, everybody is a missional opportunity. That's when you're living missional. That's when you're being missional, not doing missions. We've got a brochure. It's out on our welcome tables. I'd invite you all to pick one of them up. It's our missions brochure for 2016. Let me just warn you right now. This thing alone is dangerous. Because if you pick this thing up and say, oh, there's two or three things that I can do this year to do missions, you just missed it. We're not asking you to do missions. We're just providing opportunities for you to be missional. And today is not about doing. Today is all about being. Being like our Savior, taking His mission and making it our mission until every tribe and every kindred on planet Earth knows about our King and knows about Jesus. I'm going to pray for us in just a second that our church will take the next steps. Maybe the next step for you is to say, I've been trying to do mission stuff, and I realize I need to be missional, not do missions. Maybe your next step today is to start to look for opportunities that are in your day, every day, all day long, and identify those opportunities and take those opportunities to talk to people about Jesus. So let me pray for us and pray that you'll take a next step this morning. Father, we've heard your word, and we know that you ask us to respond to what we've heard. So would you cause somebody in here who's been to church a long, long time, but who hasn't been following Jesus by being missional, who hasn't made Jesus' mission their mission, would you cause them to say, I'm going to start to be missional by finding opportunities that's right now in my day. I don't even need to change anything. Just people that are in my day all day long. God, would you bless those opportunities, and would you cause lots of folks to come to know King Jesus because of the way that your church serves by meeting an immediate need and then offers them a Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ, who alone can answer their ultimate need. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.